It's Wednesday, April 15th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. We've got a very special Normal Daily Audio Stash for you today. Coming up in our hemp headlines is a live report from the Tax Day protest at the steps of the Manhattan Post Office in New York City, featuring Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, who was there to present a $14 billion check to the U.S. Treasury representing the money that could be made if marijuana was legalized. A very conservative estimate, if you ask me. And he was able to round up David Bienenstock, the senior editor of High Times magazine and author of the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, as well as Danny Danko, senior cultivation editor from High Times magazine, and our own Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com, author of Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life. He was there. And Doug Green from CuresNotWars.org, the founders and sponsors of the Global Marijuana March, which you can learn about at GlobalMarijuanaMarch.org. Really fun live audio there from Manhattan. You can hear the people cheering and honking in the background as the Tax Day protest was getting lots of attention from the media, both at the local and the national level. We'll have plenty more on that as we're able to get our video processed and we find the news feeds from all of the mainstream media. Before we get to that, I want to point you out to a couple of things on the blog at stash.normal.org. I've posted Who Are You Part 3, a look at adult marijuana user statistics as derived from the 2007 National Surveys on Drug Use and Health from the Substance Abuse Mental Health Data Archive, available online. Now, this looks at the employment data for people who actually are smoking marijuana at least once per year. I had a commenter who complained that the previous post's employment data looked at people who had ever smoked marijuana and thought that wasn't a strong enough argument to make. So this looks at the data of people who use marijuana anywhere from one time a year all the way up to 100 times a year or more. Even at the highest marijuana usage rates, 90% of us are employed. Once again, it's the prohibition of the marijuana that's the problem, not the marijuana itself. I also want to point you out to a post called Taking It to the Streets, where I'm featuring 24 fantastic marijuana protest signs that are available through one of our chapters, Oregon Normal, which you can find at ornorml.org. These are high-quality PDFs in that large format that fits perfectly on those pre-made poster boards that you can buy at your local craft or printing store. Check them out at our blog, stash.normal.org, and you can preview them and head over to the Oregon Normal site to download more if you like. Now, since this is a special broadcast with the live audio coming up here in a moment, we are going to forego our cannabis science segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, but he'll be back next week to debunk more reefer madness for us. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature Reggae Wednesday's song Ganja for Life by Mr. Williams. And in our cannabis conversation, we're going to be speaking with Steve Young, who's the producer of a movie called Government Grown, takes a look at a small Illinois town that was a part of the Hemp for Victory campaign back in World War II. Right after the commercial break, we take you to live audio from Manhattan with Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre. From here, tax day, all the way through summertime, it's going to be a busy time in marijuana law reform, and the Normal Daily Audio Stash is your daily pulse of the cannabis community. So hold on tight. Here we go. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Well, today is tax day and people are paying their taxes at the last minute all over the country. There's only one group of people who are asking to be taxed more. That's you and me, the American marijuana consumers. And we are calling in live to the protest going on down at the steps of the Manhattan Post Office with Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal. Alan, how's the protest?
Good day. Oh, we're having fun here. We've got a legion of folks of about 20 individuals in front of the Manhattan Post Office. We're getting lots of great hoots and hollers from the passerbys here in Manhattan. Surprise, surprise, nobody. We have a phalanx of police officers that are surrounding the area here, which I'm sure will show up on our YouTube tonight. They seem to take great interest in us using our First Amendment rights here.
But yeah.
The weather is much better than when we were here earlier today. And we've got a great turnout this afternoon at 4:20.
All right. How's the media coverage?
Well, we have had a number of print interviews come down here today. We had some broadcasts this morning. We've had some audio. At the moment, we're recording everything here in high def for YouTube distribution through Normal's channel on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. We'll have all that posted up on the stash as soon as it's available. And I understand you've got a whole cadre there of some of the movers and shakers in New York marijuana law reform. Our own Steve Bloom from SlebStoner.com's there and a few others. So whoever you can get us to talk to on the line, we'll talk to them about the protest.
Well, absolutely. Let me grab, the first person here. Let me grab, Steve is not here. Let me grab Rick Cusick. Oh, let me grab David Beanstark here and have him talk to you for a moment. David's the senior editor from High Times. We're doing a live podcast, and so would you like to talk to Normal's podcast?
Oh, sure, of course. Is it Russ?
It is. Hey, Russ!
Hey, Dave, how's it going out there?
Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Are you staying dry?
Oh, we're definitely dry, and we still have our $14 billion check, so we're pretty flush at the moment.
Nobody's cashed your check yet, huh?
We're waiting for Uncle Sam. He is late, but we're not giving up hope yet.
Did anyone call Tim Geithner?
This is green stimulus.
Yeah, you'll tell our listeners a little bit about that, what this $14 billion is all about.
This represents what American taxpayers are burdened with every year in order to support marijuana prohibition that not only isn't a good idea, but doesn't work. In tough economic times, we're out here to remind people of where their money's going, and we're challenging them that I think they can find a think of a lot better ways to use our resources.
No kidding. And just $14 billion, huh? Is there any estimate? I mean, where's that estimate coming from, and any other estimates?
That's from you can look at prohibitioncost.org is where it's the budgetary implications of marijuana prohibition, I believe, very snazzy title. And that's a report that's endorsed by 500 economists. It was run by a Harvard economist. I personally, what I hear is that it's a conservative number, but we can certainly say $14 billion a year, with a lot of confidence. And it's, you know, a billion here, a billion there, and it starts to add up.
Pretty soon you're talking about some real money.
There you are.
All right. So, how's the protest going? It's got a lot of signs, people out there, people passing by liking it. What's happening?
We got a lot of kind-hearted people out here to support us. We've just, Alan's been doing some real nice interviews, so we're hoping to have some media. And then, next stop is the old, teabagging protest, downtown, and we're just gonna provide a counterpoint of, you know, these people don't want to pay taxes. They don't want rich people to pay taxes. And we're here and we'd love to pay taxes because that's how we're going to buy our freedom. And if our freedom costs $14 billion, we're ready to make that trade.
And if I just may say so, the idea of a taxing us protest sounds a whole lot better than a teabagging protest, doesn't it?
Well, it's much easier to clean up after.
Let's just leave it at that.
With that, I'm gonna go out on a high note, as they say. I'm gonna try to pass you over to High Times cultivation editor Danny Danko.
Okay, thank
Hold
you.
On a second.
That's Dave Bienenstock, the senior editor of High Times magazine.
Hello.
Hey, Danny.
Yes.
Danny Danko, cultivation editor from High Times magazine. How is the protest going out there?
Oh, it's going great. We have the giant check for $14 billion. Get a lot of passersby here, really digging the message. You know, we're the only people out here really wanting more taxes, so it's very intriguing for people passing by.
When you've been talking to the news media, have their questions been kind of like, you know how they always try to mock us and make it all silly, or have they been more serious about the questioning?
The Fox News guy this morning was pretty serious. He asked really good questions and kind of like, you know, fed Alan some good softballs as far as, our cause here. And, you know, besides that, people walking by, usually they're kind of like, their first instinct is to laugh and smile because they see the tax and regulate marijuana. And for whatever reason, it either makes them nervous or uncomfortable or they think it's funny. And then they see the $14 billion with all those zeros after it. And it gets a little more serious, you know. Even the non-smokers are kind of nodding and, you know, agreeing with us. And, I mean, I think that's ultimately the goal of the protest. We're not preaching to the converted here. We're trying to show the average American, whether they smoke or don't, that how much money they're missing out on.
Yeah, and you know, that was something that Dave brought up, was that you guys are going to be doing as a counter protest to this this new Tea Party protest that's been, you know, taking root in a lot of areas of the country.
Yeah, we're going to try to steal some of that teabag thunder.
there you go. And that just, you know, brings up something that I always used to say when I lived back in Idaho, you know, in a really conservative, you know, very libertarian, actually, area of the country. I used to always say, why do you guys like potheads so much? And they'd say, well, we don't like potheads. And I go, well, then why are you not taxing them? And that just seemed to be something that really got through to them. You know, it's like, why are you letting one group of people get away with not paying taxes?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is the most effective argument for the squares, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because everyone that's on our side is on our side, but what we really need to do is shift, you know, so that we reach the tipping point of regular people realizing, hey, you know, prohibition of alcohol was really the same story as far as, you know, the money lost, and it took the depression to really get them out of that. So this, recession, depression, whatever you want to call it that we're in, you know, we're really trying to help. You know, I don't think marijuana will save the economy, but, you know, $14 billion couldn't hurt right now.
Right. You know, if your ship is sinking, it doesn't hurt if you're bailing out even just a little is going to help, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I want to mention one more thing. On our website, and a few of the people who I've seen have told me, wow, I don't want my pot taxed. you know, I'd rather it continue to be the way it is. Well, to those people, I just want to say, you know, if you've had a friend arrested or a family member taken away from you, or you've gone to visit a jail where someone's there for growing pot or smoking or selling, then, you know, you really understand that there's a lot more invested in this than money. And I want those people to realize that I think it's a little bit selfish to say, well, as long as I can keep smoking, I don't want to pay taxes on it and I want it to be this way, because a lot of people's lives are affected, a lot of people's lives are ruined, and that's really what we're out here trying to stop. I mean, I'm not really trying to pump $14 billion into the American economy, but if that's what it takes to keep my friends from getting locked up, to keep dogs from getting shot in these raids, and to keep, you know, just the devastation that this war on flowers has caused in America and the whole world, and look at Mexico, you know, that's what ultimately I want to, you know, basically get that message through.
Yeah, that is so, you know, well said.
I don't love the idea of getting taxed, but if the alternative is imprisonment, confiscation, you know, all of these horrific, you know, crimes that are committed in the name of the war on pot, well, then I've been taxed the heck out of it, you know?
Yeah. you know, I always say that every dollar of prohibition profit is a life ruined somewhere. And I don't know how some people can sleep with that, you know, on their conscience, or maybe they just don't think of it that way. But, no, go ahead.
It's a selfish way of looking at it, you know?
Yeah. And
as long as I'm okay, you know, nothing else matters. And we really need to get out of that mindset if we're going to change the situation.
And if people want to grow commercially, there'll be, you know, when it's legal, there will be an industry in that, you know, and you won't have
Absolutely.
To fear for your
I mean,
life. And
we're talking about America's number one cash crop.
Exactly.
Know? And cultivation editor. And this year, I believe, you know, from what I can tell, it's going to be the most pot grown in America ever. And the fact that that's not, you know, not getting taxed is a travesty.
Yeah.
To our economy.
Yeah, and people also need to understand that, you know, if they were just going to be, you know, home personal growers, it's not like the revenue man's going to come and count your plants. We're talking about commercial.
Right. I mean, I doubt they're going to tax your closet.
Exactly.
You know, it's the big guys that are going to be, you know, paying the most. And, you know, and the price of producing marijuana is very low. So either way, I mean, tax or no tax, the price is going to go down.
Yeah.
With this greater harvest. So I just feel like, you know, why miss out on all this money and why continue this, you know, just devastating sequence of events that we're trapped in.
Yeah,
prohibition.
It's $14 billion. It's just sitting there waiting to go into the American economy. And, you know, if we think about it, probably a whole lot more when you count all the extra jobs and the hemp industry and so much more.
I personally think $14 billion is a really low estimate.
Yeah.
I mean, the government estimated California's 1 year of marijuana crops in California at $8 billion. So if you extrapolate that outwards, I mean, there's just, I mean, I think closer to $100 billion of
yeah.
trade. And I mean, how many bailouts could you buy with that?
You know, I hear a bunch of honking going on behind you. Is that people in support?
Yeah, we've got a ton. I mean, we've got truckers going by, a lot of the, you know, New York, cabbies and stuff. All kinds of people are responding pretty well to this protest. It's pretty exciting.
Well, excellent. Now, has Steve Bloom gotten back in the crowd there, or anyone else to talk to?
Steve Bloom is here. He is. I will pass him along to you.
All right, thank you. Danny Danko, senior cultivation editor from High Times Magazine, live at the 420 protest in Manhattan at the post office, where Normal is giving
Absolutely.
Away.
Absolutely. Here's Steve.
All right, $14 billion.
Boulder for the big Boulder event.
Hey, Steve, how's the protest going?
It's a little bit ragtaggy, but, you know, it's good. I mean, there's about 30, 40 people coming and going, you know, with signs and, you know, it's a good little event, you know, to raise awareness here in New York.
Excellent, excellent. And I know there's probably, you've got all sorts of things coming up here, and I just thought maybe we'd talk about, leading from 415 through 420, what's going on there in Manhattan, New York, and the area.
As far as, Monday?
Yeah, just as far as, you know, the pot celebrations, the protests, anything like that. Yeah. What's happening?
Well, I mean, my thing is, you know, I'm going to be in Boulder, so.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to be in Boulder this weekend, starting Saturday. Sunday is the big marijuana forum that's promoted by Colorado University Normal. And of course I'll be there for the big 420 celebration. It'll be my second year there in a row. It's, I consider, you know, Boulder, ground zero for 420 at this point. You know, unlike Santa Cruz, where the administration of the UC Santa Cruz is trying to, you know, scare people away from having an event out there for another second year in a row. Now, in Boulder, they're pretty much supporting it, and they say, hey, if you're going to have this big smoke out, why don't you do something a little more academic? So they're having a teach-in on Saturday, they're having a forum on Sunday, and of course we'll have the smoke-in on Monday. So, you know, they're making some really big progress there in Colorado. So that's where I'm going to be. I'm excited. I'll be speaking on Sunday at the forum.
That's excellent. And we've got that on the activist agenda as well. So people that are interested in heading to Boulder and finding out when all the different events are, they've got all sorts of things going on in the forum. The entire list is there on the activist agenda calendar at the blog. Is there another website that you know of that has the information?
Good question. I guess the Colorado Normal website. I'm not sure exactly what the URL is for, but just, you know, find it by doing a little Google searching.
Yeah, we'll check that out. Colorado Normal.
I think it's also up on the Normal website, too. It's at least on the Normal site or the Normal blog site.
All right.
You know, listed, like, of the panels and stuff. It's a full day of panels. Alan St. Pierre, you know, from Normal, of course, is going to be there speaking throughout the day. And you know, it's going to be mostly local people, but they're bringing me, Alan, and I think Kevin Booth is going to be in as well, the director of American Drug War.
Right.
So I think we're going to be sort of the special guest coming in from outside of Colorado, and then there'll be all the players within Colorado will be there, you know, participating throughout the day. So it should really be great.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic event. I'll look forward to hearing more about it later in one of our future interviews, I'm sure, and I'm sure they'll be posting photos and video and such.
Yeah, it's just a great event. I mean, last year just the smoke out alone was fabulous. You know, it's kind of guerrilla. People go and do it for an hour and split. There isn't really a big, there isn't a stage, there isn't, vendors. You know, it's not your classic marijuana rally event. It's sort of the opposite. You know, it's not a full day, you hang around, you know, you kind of come and you go real fast. You sort of kind of commune with your brothers and sisters, you know, the way 420 was, you know, meant to be. You know, that was really the original plan. 420 was, you know, when I got the original flyer to Dead Show in 1990, you know, they talked about 420 being a police code for marijuana arrest in progress, which we sort of found to be false. But what wasn't false was their discussion of getting together at 420 on 420, April 20th, for the big marijuana celebration. And that's really come to be. So they really predicted that one. So that's what's going to happen. You know, they'll have that big celebration. Last year when I was there, it was particularly, you know, stunning to, you know, see all the smoke rising and the mountains in the distance. It kind of looks like a little wildfire is going. and, you know, people are just having a good time. And it's really nice to see that Boulder has embraced the event. There's no concerns with police. There's no concerns with the school administration trying to shut it down. They're kind of saying, okay, it's going to happen. I'm not sure if this crowd will be as big this year because last year was a Sunday. It was massive. This year it's a school day, so it might be a little more subdued on Monday. You know, 420 just might be a little more subdued this year because it's not a weekend. You know, we went through the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of 420 for the last 3 years. Now it's a Monday, so it's kind of got to spin back around for the weekend, you know, where you have a little freer time, you know. So for campus events, it might be a little harder for everybody to get out of class and stuff like that. But we'll see. I'll let you know, on Friday, on Monday, you know, if you'd like, you know, how things are going there in Boulder, and I'll let you know how, what size crowd, you know, is there, but it was huge last year.
Sure, yeah, we can get in touch for a 420 report. That'll be a great idea. Thanks a lot for that idea, Steve.
If you want, let me know. I'll be there.
All right, well, let's get back to Alan, if he's somewhere available.
Alan is doing an interview.
Oh, well, he's not then.
Who else haven't you talked to? Have you talked to Doug Green?
I have not talked to Rick or James or who else did you say?
Rick just took off.
Okay.
You talked to Dave Bienenstock?
Yep, got Dave.
How about Doug Green? He's one of the make regular guys here in New York working with Cures Not Wars.
Sounds great. Let's go.
All right, hold on a second.
Hey, Doug, normal audio test. Radical Russ wants to talk to you.
Hey, Radical Russ.
Hey,
what's
Doug Green.
On? How are you?
I'm doing good.
Do you remember me?
Yeah, it's nice to talk to you. Cures Not Wars, correct?
Cures Not Wars, that's right.
And aren't you guys the proponents behind the Marijuana March?
That's correct.
Tell our listeners just a little bit about the Marijuana March and what they can expect this year.
Well, what we can expect this year is, I think our current number is about 248 cities. One of the things I've been working on actually is a piece that I'm fairly about soon about to distribute to the Arrow List and some other colleagues called We Want You to Win the Drug War, which basically is a seven-page introduction to people who are interested in getting involved with the movement, and kind of talks about what's going on right now, the election of Obama, what the top issues are, medical marijuana, decrim, legalization, hemp. Here in New York, the particular version I'm working on that can be customized, the particular version I'm working on is for the New York March. So we're also talking about the Rockefeller drug laws, which we've had some modest reforms very recently. And then, you know, talking about the organizations and giving people the websites and the Facebook cause pages of different organizations. It's just, you know, as you well know, Russ, this is an incredibly exciting time for our movement. And we're hoping to get lots of people in hundreds of cities all over the world to come out on May 2nd and May 9th.
That's right. It's the always the first Saturday of May, the Global Marijuana March.
In the United States, in some other countries, especially European countries, you know, there's kind of a labor holiday.
Oh, that's right.
Around the first Saturday of May. So in some places it is the 9th instead of the 2nd. But generally we try and, you know, try and standardize on the first Saturday of May.
As we say in media, check your local listings.
Yes, you need to check your local listings, and you listeners need to go to globalmarijuanamarch.org for updated list of cities.
All right, and we're doing it here in Portland, Oregon as well. We've got the Pioneer Courthouse Square reserved for the whole day. It's going to be a great march and a great festival.
That's right. I remember. I don't think we actually met up on that trip, Russ. But you know, I was in Portland in November.
Oh.
And I was actually on Paul Stanford's show. And I spoke to a meeting of Oregon Normal, and Madeline was talking about the dragon. You guys have some sort of big dragon that you use.
We do. We have a dragon completely made out of hemp. The head is made of tied and glued together hemp stalks. It's probably about, I don't know, 8 foot by 6 foot. It's a big old head. Maybe not that big, but anyway, and it's trailed by a long hemp cloth body, somewhat kind of like those Chinese dragons you'll see in the New Year's festivals, the Chinese New Year. And we get 6 people to march with that dragon. It kind of it always turns people's heads when we tell them, yeah, that's completely made of pot. They're like, what?
Right. I believe actually the Chinese word for hemp is ma.
That's right.
I'm not sure if that is. Okay, yes, ma, M-A. But yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, Portland is a beautiful city. You guys are very lucky to be in such a tolerant, open place. I hope you have a great march in Pioneer Square.
All right.
I wish I could be in all 248 cities at once.
I know. I wish I could too.
Sometimes I'd rather be in other cities than in New York, because New York is not a very friendly place for our movement, as you well know.
Yeah.
One of the marijuana arrest capitals of the country.
No kidding. So. No kidding. We saw that report from Dr. Levine that we reported on a few months ago with the disparity in the rise in arrests.
It was actually about a year ago.
Was a year, yeah.
The end of April of 08. And I believe he's been actually working on expanding that report to cover other cities as well.
All right.
There are some places that are even worse. If you look at the report, I think actually Fulton County, which is the county that covers Atlanta, Georgia, is even worse when it comes to marijuana arrests than New York City.
Hmm. Well, we'll keep our eyes out on that report. Doug Green, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. We got to wrap things up on this live report from the Tax Day protest in Manhattan. I understand Alan's doing an interview, so I'm just going to wrap up and let you hang up the phone. So thanks a lot, Doug, and give my thanks to Dave and Danny and Steve for joining us, too.
I will. Great. Thank you so much, Russ. And I look forward to seeing you. I just spoke to Alan, and Alan said the conference is going to be September 24th through the 26th in San Francisco. So I guess I'll see you then.
All right. I'll see you by the bay.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Russ.
All right. Good day.
You too.
It's our live report from the Tax Day protest on the steps of the Post Office in Manhattan, New York City, featuring Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, presenting a $14 billion check representing the money that could be reaped from tax and regulating. Yes, Alan.
Oh, hey, no, it's Dan. Alan's actually just finishing up an interview. Here he is. Hold on 1 second.
This is live, folks.
Thank you.
Well, I still have a battery. Hey, Russ.
How you doing? You know, the...
talking to everybody be good?
Yeah, it's excellent. The advantage is that it's live, and I don't have to do a bunch of editing today.
I know. Well, as it is, this is a great event, and people are really enjoying themselves, and people are giving me the serious high five, if you will.
All right. Where does it go from here? Are you guys heading down to another location for that other tax protest?
Oh, we're going to have some fun. I understand Newt Gingrich is here in town, and because he wants to be over at Fox News and take advantage of that tonight, well, we'll take advantage of him being in town and go split that party right in half. Because as you can imagine, many, many of the people that are out today protesting at the so-called teabag rallies, they're libertarians. And so this message, if you will, very strongly resonates with them. So we're going to have some fun today, and we're going to figure out who the moralists are and who the libertarians are.
Oh, it sounds like fun. So we might be able to see one of our tax us signs on the Fox News there, maybe?
Well, we're going to certainly do the best chance to do that, and we've got a lot of media around here. It's hard to actually tell what's going to show up because here in New York, you just never know. As we've been doing this for the last 40, 50 minutes, people have just taken so many images, and so I don't even know what's going to be captured here.
Mm. Well, we'll wrap it all up for the rest of the week. I'm sure we'll catch the videos that you guys are producing and have those up on the stash pretty soon.
All right, it'll be good. This should be a fun time for all, and looking forward to hanging out with everybody here afterwards.
All right. Well, have a good time. I'm going to wrap things up here for the live report from the Tax Day protests. Alan, thank you, and thank everyone else who joined us today.
Well, absolutely, and thank you. Appreciate it. Best to you.
All right. Good day. That's wrapping up from our Tax Day protest there in Manhattan. A live report featuring Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, Dave Bienenstock, High Times senior editor, author of the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, Danny Danko, High Times senior cultivation editor. We were also joined by Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com, also the author of Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life. And the last guest we had, Doug Green from CuresNotWars.org, the sponsors of the Global Marijuana March, which you can learn more about at GlobalMarijuanaMarch.org. It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Reggae Wednesday sees the return of stash favorite Mr. Williams from the UK with his classic dancehall reggae song, Ganja for Life, nominated in 2008's Marijuana Music Awards. Dynamic artist Mr. Williams has performed and recorded songs with numerous producers and reggae legends. He is currently featured on the Reggae Gold 2008 compilation album. Mr. Williams has had two releases since Reggae Gold, the latest, Babylon in Helicopter, reaching number 3 in the European charts. Mr. Williams is fast rising to the top of the UK dancehall artists. Keep updated with Mr. Williams at myspace.com/MRWilliamZ, that's Mr. Williams, and NecessaryMayhem.com. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Mr. Williams with Ganja for Life.
Yeah. Why you think that, yo, audio?
Oh, no,
why you think they call it the healing of the nation? Audio! Why you think it is the healing of the nation, eh? Ganja for life, say ganja for life.
Hey! All I read the book is ganja that smoke. Smoking with my
eye. I'm not stop, please, it's night, I know.
Meditation.
Yo!
Gets me from the who has just started.
I grew marijuana. Hear me now. So much, them ask Mr. Williams why you puff it so much. Damn, roll it up, me build it up, and me stuff it so much in my brain cell. It don't make no sense, ask how much. Oh well, see me with my spliff. Don't touch journalists, can ask me why my spliff is so buff. Same way like the girl that I love. Yeah.
All I read though is ganja that we smoke.
Blazing.
We're smoking with life.
Hurt for life, non-stop, that's it.
Strictly meditation.
Blazing.
It gets me full day.
I wanna give up monkeys
who has just a shot.
Round it up, me wrap it up, me build it up, me smoke it up. Anywhere that I am, I really doesn't give a f. Chilling in the club, rolling in the car, in the truck. Oh, down, resting up, Mr. Williams. What the bubble and they are so corrupt. See me slipping up, don't interrupt. Damn, me and my girl and the thugs living up, build it up, oh yeah.
All I really know,
you know,
is ganja that we smoke.
Marijuana,
smoking cannabis,
scum herb, whatever you call it. Yo,
strictly meditation. Gets me from the day, who has just a shot.
One, yeah, wrap it up and after that just build another one. And after that, I roll a much fatter one. Damn, after that I roll a extra big maca one. Marijuana was used by King Solomon. Burn out the Babylonians and all the vagabond. Hey, I smoke it up in my car, in my caravan. Mr. Billy,
all I
really
know is ganja that we smoke.
Blaze it, we're
smoking with life.
I'm gonna stop, blaze it, night and a month.
Strictly meditation.
Strictly.
Gets me food today.
Marijuana. Oh yeah, I love it so much. Them I ask Mr. Will why you puff it so much. Drop it up, me build it up, and stuff it in my brain so much. Hey, you don't make no sense to ask how much. See my with my spliff. Hey, don't touch journalists. Don't ask is why my spliff it is so buff. Just like the girl that I love. Yeah,
all I really know is ganja that we smoke. We're smoking with life.
I'm gonna stop blazing night, I know.
Marijuana,
who has just shot? No, I don't smoke on it. Hey. Sing it again.
All I really know is ganja that we smoke.
Chronic,
we're smoking weed for life.
Marijuana, weed,
and
you know. Oh, whatever you call it.
Meditation, gets me food today.
Hey, give me another try.
You know,
you like to see no drug car. Woo! Listen, man. Oh. Roll it up, and blaze it up, and build a proper one. After that one, you know me build another one. After that one, me build a much fatter one, yeah. After that, I roll like a stomach a one, yeah. Marijuana was used by King Solomon. He burned out the bowels, all the plague and the vagabond.
You know,
hey, I smoke it up in my car, I'm a caravan. Me no give a damn.
All I read though is ganja that we
marijuana
smoke.
Just come
smoking me
high
back.
Grade test. Oh yeah,
bless
it. Oh yeah,
oh yeah. Strictly meditation.
Not Johnny,
you know, who has
no artificial. Natural marijuana is so beneficial.
It's ganja that we smoke.
Musk, you know, so if you know, it's a full judgment. So when you click on Musk, uh-oh, damn, take a puff, yeah.
Percent of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMA. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our NORMAL daily audio stash, Cannabis Conversations. We cover a lot of stories here on the NORMAL daily audio stash concerning consumer cannabis and medical marijuana, but one aspect of the cannabis plant that always defies logic every time I think about it is the prohibition on industrial hemp, the form of cannabis that isn't really even a drug. It could never get you high. And this is a story that goes all the way back to America's founding, and particularly to the World War II era, which was the last time we actually had legal hemp fields in this country. Joining us here to talk about it is the producer of a new film called Government Grown, How Polo, Illinois Helped Win the War. And I just want to welcome Steve Young to the show. Steve, welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
First of all, tell people about this film, Government Grown, and how it fits in with America's history.
Well, probably a lot of your listeners know already. During World War II, it was difficult to get hemp. We had, at that time, imported it from other countries, but because the war was going on, it was difficult to get. And because it was important to the war effort, ships needed the hemp for ropes and so on. People had to figure out a way to get hemp, so they created this Hemp for Victory program, which encouraged farmers to grow hemp, even though it was sort of a legal gray area at the time. And what I did was I went out to a little town called Polo, which is in northwest Illinois, and they participated in the program there. Several farmers grew hemp, and they also have a hemp processing mill there that still stands that was built during World War II. And as the history goes, that plant is a prototype for other plants that were built around the country at the same time. So a lot of people know about Hemp for Victory, but what we tried to do was kind of focus on one place where it happened. And fortunately, in Polo, they are very historically minded. They have a very active historical society. And they saved all these artifacts, like documents from the era, and they also knew which farmers had participated, and a couple of them were still living. So we had the chance to go talk to these people and, you know, kind of put it in the context of the larger Hemp for Victory program. And that's what we tried to do with the film.
You know, a lot of people listening to, especially younger folks, might just kind of take it for granted, knowing that this Hemp for Victory program existed. But for a long time, the government even denied the existence of any film or records of this program. Is that not true?
Yes, that's my understanding, that until the mid-60s, it was kind of a rumored thing, and then it was rediscovered history. And what's interesting is if you look, I think it was lost popularly, but like in Polo, they never really forgot about it because the hemp mill is there, and they refer to it like it's kind of a landmark in the area. They saw you go out by the old hemp mill. So it's interesting how the history does get lost, but the good thing about little local towns and so on is that they kind of keep that history alive. So yeah, it's getting more known now, but for a time it was not.
As you were speaking to the locals in Polo, Illinois, especially the more seasoned folks that remember this program and actually participated in the program, did they offer any opinions on the end of the program or frustrations that industrial hemp's not allowed now?
Yeah, a little bit. They're very earthy, kind of take things as they come kind of people, and mm-hmm. I think that some of them, I think, were disappointed that it ended. And some of them, I think most of the people that I talk to don't understand why it can't be grown today. They get this thing that it's different from the cannabis that people use as an intoxicant.
For the folks there in that town, was there a major change in their economy for that small town with the end of the program?
No, I don't think so. They farmed. It's a serious farming community, so they had other crops too. And I don't think it was an economic hardship. And they said it was a profitable crop, but again, it was a government program, so they kind of took what they got from the government. And I think that they kind of reminisce about it now, and I think that they'd like to be able to grow hemp now, but they understood that when it ended, it ended.
Did you find any surprises in talking to the people there with their recollections of the program?
Well, most of them, what I found a little bit surprising is how matter-of-factly they recollected it. Almost all of them just thought it was, you know, it was an episode. They didn't really see it as controversial. The one gentleman we talked to at length, Mr. Fossler, Paul Fossler, he owned land and he actually did the farming. And he said that when there were first meetings held about it, a few people raised this idea that, you know, isn't this the same thing as marijuana? But they kind of made the distinction. And after that, it wasn't controversial really to anybody.
Now, your film focuses on this town, Polo, Illinois. How widespread or how extensive was the program? Was it limited to just a few small towns in rural areas like this, or was it wider than that?
It was wider. It took place in several states, not all of them, like mostly these northern states where the climate was good for it. And in Illinois, there's several hemp processing plants. It's kind of hard to pin down the exact number, but there's more than the one in Polo. I'm aware of about six of them that are around, and they're interesting. They all kind of look the same, and some of them are still standing. And some of them say, like the one in Polo, it's still standing, and for several, it got converted over the years into different uses, and right now it's vacant. But yeah, it was a program that was widespread, but it only went on for about a year or two.
Are all these plants left over from the program in the 40s, are they all pretty much out of commission or reclaimed for other uses, or is it possible that some of them could actually process hemp with just maybe a couple of renovations?
My understanding is that they're all out of commission and all been converted, and that I've talked to people who are very interested in when they find a plant to go see if there's any equipment or anything left in it. But from the people I've spoken to, when you go there, they're usually either abandoned or converted, and there's nothing really left in there.
Okay. Well, the film is Government Grown, How Polo, Illinois Helped Win the War. Tell our folks how they can get a copy or see the video online.
Yeah, if you go to we've got a website, and the address for that is www.governmentgrownhemp.com, and you can watch the whole movie right there. It's only about 15 minutes long, but if you'd like a higher quality copy, we are selling DVDs, and that DVD comes with bonus features, including the Hemp for Victory propaganda film that was produced in the 1940s. You get that in its entirety, and then we also have longer interviews with the subjects of the documentary that didn't quite make it into the documentary. So yeah, again, if you go to www.governmentgrownhemp.com, you can see it or order it.
Now, Steve, is this your first foray into filmmaking, or do you have other films that people might know you for?
No, I'm mostly a writer. I do a lot of writing on drug policy and cannabis and hemp issues. And I thought about writing this story when I found out about all the things they had in Polo. My intention was to write a story. But when we got there, they had all these interesting pieces and the people to talk to. And I have some friends who are filmmakers, and actually I have a degree in filmmaking, but I haven't used it for about 20 years.
Put those student loans to good use, huh?
Good subject for a film.
Yeah. Now, if our listeners out there had any questions, can they contact you through the governmentgrownhemp.com website, or do you have an email address perhaps?
Yeah, there's an email address there if anybody wants to get in touch with me, but I'll also give it out. It's syoung6000@wowway.com.
All right. We'll get that posted up on our website as well as a link to governmentgrownhemp.com so people can see the movie. I think it's very important for activists in this marijuana movement to understand the history going back to the 40s and that use of hemp in the Hemp for Victory campaign. I think it's the kind of thought process we ought to bring up again to our government now in these tough economic times, that even if we're not going to legalize the recreational or medical use of marijuana, there's no real logical reason to ban the industrial use of hemp.
I agree completely. And it's interesting, the past week, you know, I listened to your show, in the past week, there's been so many people talking about how marijuana prohibition itself is silly. And of course, hemp is just like multiple times earlier.
Yeah,
so yeah, maybe now is the time.
Yeah, I've always marveled at the idea that the Drug Enforcement Administration is in charge of banning something that's not a drug.
Exactly. Yes. It's almost like an anti-drug. It's going to make you feel bad.
So, No kidding.
I'd avoid it.
Well, Steve Young is the producer of this film, Government Grown, How Polo, Illinois Helped Win the War. Check it out at governmentgrownhemp.com. Steve, thanks for joining us on The Stash, and I look forward to seeing the movie.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a few tax quotes for this tax day. Franklin D. Roosevelt, President of the United States, once said, quote, "Taxes, after all, are dues that we pay for the privileges of membership in an organized society," end quote. Well, what you pay, not us cannabis consumers. We don't get taxed. U.S. President Ronald Reagan once said, quote, "The government's view of the economy could be summed up in a few short phrases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. And if it stops moving, subsidize it," end quote. Ah, but the Gipper forgot, if it smokes a little dope, don't tax it at all. Let the criminals have the profit. And probably my favorite one, from an unknown author, who said, quote, "Did you ever notice that when you put the words the and IRS together, it spells theirs," end quote. Don't forget to get your 420 events into the calendar at stash@normal.org. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.